Our scripture lesson today comes from Mark chapter 9, verse 49 and 50, and then Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this, your word, which you have shared with us. We pray to you this day that our hearts are tuned to you, that our ears are open to hear what you have for us. Help us, Lord, to draw closer to you all the more each day, especially today. We pray also, Lord, for your mercy to be on the sermon, that it too might be used by you and for you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse 39 to 50, and then Matthew 5, 13. Hear now God's word. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'll say that the idea of salt in the Bible has always kind of bothered me. I don't know, but confused me. I've grown up in a time, a day and an age where we learn that too much salt is bad. It's just, you know, not good. How many people are savory people when you compare sweet and savory to one another? Who's like salty and sweet? Which one do you like better? So how many salty people we got? I'm a salty person. I got a bag of chips in the car to prove it. Sweet people? Yeah, sweet people. All right. Yeah, together. Now you're crossing lines there. Together, but it's a good line to cross. Pretzels, chocolate covered pretzels, yeah. Mm. Carp, salted caramel. It's all good. My grandfather loved salt. He would put salt on absolutely everything. Lucky, called him Lucky. And he was in his mid-80s and went to the doctor, and the doctor said, Lucky, you have to stop salt. If you don't stop eating salt, you're going to die. I mean, it's just the way his heart was and everything, it's just the way it was. And he looked at the doctor and said, no, I love my salt. So that's what he chose. Some people absolutely love salt, but I tell you what, when it comes to salt, I never got what they meant in the Bible with the salt. It just was sort of lost on me a little bit. But our Bible study this week is about salt. So our first Bible study is about the I am the bread of life. That was last week. This week is the salt of the earth. Now Jesus never said, I am the salt of the earth. In fact, when he talked about salt in the Gospels, it was always about his disciples. They had to be the salt of the earth. And when you look throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, salt played a fairly large role in a lot of things, especially in worship. When you would give the priest a grain offering, which was burnt on the altar table, you know, a stone table, they'd put some oil on the stone table, and then the grain offering, and then they'd mix that grain offering with salt as aroma pleasing to God. And one thing I remember, too, that the priests would eat that. And when I heard, why put salt on a grain offering, it started getting me thinking, like, any of you roast vegetables in the oven? What do you add to it? Salt and oil, right? And boy, broccoli, 450 for like 20 minutes, very, very, very good. And so salt played a very important part in worshiping God, and God, salt was pleasing to God. Salt also acted as a preservative. you mix salt with meat and any kind of food, and it makes it last even longer. So salt played a strong role in preservation. Also, a neat thing about salt is any of you grow up with a sore throat, and your mother or parents made you gargle salt water? Ever have to do that? Hated that. Oh my goodness, it was the most awful, awful thing in the world. Hated garglings, but it helps. When you put salt into water and it becomes salt water, what part of that water is not salt water? None of it. It dissolves so perfectly in the water that the whole glass of water is now salt water. Even just a little bit of salt is able to spread throughout the entire water. And so salt in its own nature, as when it comes to water anyway, is able to season all of it. Now, talking about seasoning, salt as a seasoning, when you put salt onto food, what does it do to it? When you put salt into food for the seasoning purposes, what does it do to it? What's that? Salts the water up? Are you putting it into pasta? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
I'm talking about seasoning, though. I never heard that. That's a new one for me. Yeah. I never knew that. That's a first for me. I was looking for the answer, makes it salty. That's what I was looking for, or at least someone say it enhances the flavor. But yeah, it brings the water out. I don't have a sermon for that. I'm sorry. That's a brand new one for me. Don't know what to do with that except to say that's pretty neat. But yeah, when you put salt in food, it makes it salty. It changes the flavor. Some people say it enhances the flavor, but honestly, I don't think putting salt on beef makes it more beefy, or salt on broccoli makes it more broccoli. It just makes it like salty beef or salty broccoli, which is good if you like the flavor of salt. There's another thing about salt that Jesus mentions here. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? How does salt lose its saltiness? Any ideas? This is kind of the crazy thing. It doesn't. Salt doesn't lose its saltiness. Its saltiness comes from its molecular construction. If you were to change the molecular construction and make it not salt anymore, then it wouldn't be salty, but then it wouldn't be salt anymore either. How salt loses its saltiness is by being contaminated by other elements, by being mixed with sugar or dirt or sand or whatever the case is, and that's the only way salt can lose its saltiness. So when Jesus was telling his disciples, salt is good, you have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another, and also you are the salt of the earth, Jesus is saying your goal in life, your purpose in life, is to preserve Christ's truth, to preserve Christ's love for the sake of this earth, to change its flavor, to make it not more worldly, but make it more God honoring. That our very way of living as the salt was put on the grain offering, our very reason for living is to make this world acceptable to God. To live in such a way that shows God's love. To be different. To be to the point where when people meet us, interact with us, that they recognize that now there's something different. The flavor is not the same. It's got something else mixed in with it. the salt of the earth is so that we can be a part of this world. But Christ reminds us that, or warns us, this salt has lost its taste. It can't be restored. And how does salt lose its taste but be mixed in with other elements? I had a friend in college. Let's call him Benny. I don't remember what his name was. It wasn't really much of a friend, but an acquaintance of that time. Benny had another friend. His name was Adam. Let's call him Adam. Benny was afraid for Adam because Adam started walking different paths. He was a Christian, both of them were. But Adam started mixing with other elements of this world. His influence as Christian, the way that he lived, the way that he talked was leaving because he was caught up in other things. And this is a popular thing in this world, a dangerous thing. We can get caught up. We can get mixed up with other things. We can start losing our attention and our focus on the one who loves us to those who just want to use us. And our saltiness starts becoming more and more mild. But there's another aspect of saltiness too, which is very important to all of this. We talked about last week, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." We talked about how breaking bread together is a communal act. There's also another phrase called sharing the salt, which I've never heard of, but apparently is popular at one point. And it too was a communal act. It meant to break bread. It meant to feast together. It meant to congregate together. So using salt as worship and in other things was a together thing. If we're the salt of the earth, that means we together keep each other salty. We together hold each other accountable, support one another, love one another, and walk together. It's a very hard aspect within our culture who praises individuality and picking yourself up by your own bootstraps. But the church and its saltiness wasn't created for that. It was created to help one another, to support each other, to pray for one another, to ask, "How are you doing?" To ask, well, the other phrase that came to mind was, "What's the trouble, Bubble?" To be there and to say, "I will journey with you, walk with you, and I will love you in the midst of life." Our salt for Jesus Christ. Christ wants us to let it be known to others. And I pray that through Christ we keep it as pure as possible. Jesus can take those elements away. And I pray that we seek Christ so that we can do just that. Keep our salt as pure as possible and be the salt of this earth. Share with you this final benediction. Be people of peace. Let peace live in your heart and share the peace of Christ with all you meet. Share peace by acting out of compassion and not fear. Share peace by listening to all sides of the story. Share peace by praying for our world. In this Advent season, we need to see, feel, and share peace. As you go into the wonder of God's creation, share peace and hope with those you meet. Amen and amen. Go in peace.